It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, friends, it's your old buddy Luke Clayton here. What do you say we take this segment and let me just visit with you about a topic that I think many of you are interested in? How many of you enjoy hunting hogs? And then the next question is going to be kind of loaded. How many of you enjoy eating wild hogs? I wrote a book a few years ago on, it's called Kill to Grill, The Ultimate Guide to Hog Hunting and Eating Wild Pork. Well, one question that I've been asked a lot, many people know that I'm a rabid hog hunter. I love to hunt them. The way I hunt them is one at a time. I'm not one to use thermal and get out and try to eradicate a whole sounder at night. And that's fine. I mean, it does a good deed. It takes a bunch of the hogs off the farmers' fields and everything. I know that's a necessary thing, but I just love to hunt them so much, really get in the woods and hunt them, with conventional means, a bow or a high-powered air gun, a big boy air gun or a center fire, whatever. But I am asked a lot, Luke, are those hogs really good to eat? Well, the way I always answer that, I say, well, sir or ma'am, if you were going to the sales barn to buy a hog to butcher, would you pick out the oldest, biggest, rankest boar in the bunch, or would you pick a younger, fat hog? And usually, that answers the question for them. Now, for many years, I'm talking about 25 years ago, maybe, I was of the opinion that any boar over about 80 or 100 pounds was going to be not good eating. Now, that is just not the case. I used to hunt with a doctor friend, actually a cardiologist. He told me this. He said, Luke, think about it like this. Now, an older boar, one that's huge and, just a big old boar, it's not going to be as tender, and it can have a little bit of the smell to it. When you walk up to a hog in the woods, a boar, if it is really, really rank smelling, chances are it's not going to be prime pork. But a boar up to, say, 125, 130 pounds, I've killed a lot of them. Now, sometimes they do smell like a boar. Now, but that's all on the skin and on the outside. It's not necessarily in the hormones are not dispersed throughout the meat. Now, if it's real, real rank, that's a different story. But this cardiologist buddy told me, he said, you take a smaller boar, it's probably going to be better eating than an older sow that's pulled down by, continually having pigs all of her life. And you've seen it in the woods if you've hunted hogs much, an old sow that's thin. And I've shot them, they're not the best pork. But as my doctor buddy told me, he said, if you find a good, fat, young boar, he may have a little bit of that smell to him, but that's usually on the outside. That's not necessarily in the meat. So my point is this. I've killed a lot of young boars up to, say, 125 pounds, maybe a little bit bigger than that. And sometimes if I'm back in the woods, now this is a tip that may help you. Hogs are plentiful. Now, not to say they're always easy to kill, but if I'm back in the woods, I will start by taking my knife and starting just between the ears and split all the way to the tail, right on top of the back, and pull those back straps out first. And then I'll skin the hams out and then not even gut the hog in the woods. So I've got to the point that I do that a lot. Not always. If it's one that I want to barbecue, say cut him in half and barbecue him in two pieces, I'll skin out the front shoulders and, just hang him up and skin him. But that's a method that a lot of people do now because hogs are so plentiful. Split them right down the back, and you can peel that hide down and then pull those back straps out of there. And, you've got him ready to the best part of the hog you've got. And then the hams are easy. Just split that hide down the back of the hind legs and then skin it right out there and hit that socket when you're removing the back leg, and you've got two prime hams, and two back straps ready to go. Now, say you're going into an area, or say I'm going into a new area to hunt. Now, I don't do a whole lot of stalking. I've killed quite a few hogs like that through the many years I've hunted them by easing through the woods, you know, and finding trails and usually getting downwind and listening to where the hogs are and then trying to get downwind and sneak up on them or get ahead of them and let them come to me. But most of them I've shot over corn or areas where there's bait. And that is by far the most dependable way to kill a wild hog. I think most of you that hunt will agree with me on that. But here's what I like to do. Find a hot area. In other words, an area with lots of rubs and fresh tracks. Hogs, all you've heard of a pig trail. Well, hogs always run on trails, usually do. Find a pig trail, a hog trail back in usually close to a waterway, a creek or edge of a pond or whatever, where you know the hogs have been frequenting. And then I'll just basically bait it with, I'll put out half a 5-gallon bucket of corn, string it out in that area, put a trail camera on it, and then come back in a day or so. And I like to pattern them first. It's not always possible. You may be hunting at least 4 hours from home where you can't do this, but this is a lethal method to put pork in the freezer. Go ahead and bait it up. Bait it liberally. Put out, you know, 25 pounds of corn or whatever. Sprinkle it around where they'll have to work for it. Don't put it all in one pile, because trust me, they'll find every kernel of that corn. And then you don't really have to have a stand. You know, get you a folding chair and put it back in the brush where the wind is the main thing you're going to need to watch. You know, put your chair back in the brush and set back there the next, whenever you pattern them on your trail camera, ease back in there. And they're not going to come at, say they've been hitting it around 5 in the evening. Well, give them, you know, get in there a little early. They may be not right on the money, but they're usually pretty patternable if they know that corn's going to be there, as a rule. There's no hard and fast rules when it comes to hog hunting. They are not nearly as predictable as deer, I'll tell you that. And I think all of you that hunt them know that. But that's the way I like to try to pattern them first. Of course, if you've got a corn feeder, I'd say 90% of the hogs in Texas are killed over a corn feeder. That's the best way, but there's not always hogs in an area, particular area. You might have a corn feeder on the best creek in East Texas or whatever that they've been hitting for 2 months, and then they may be moved out for some reason. They may go down that creek 5 miles. So that's where the scouting comes in handy, finding the fresh hog sign. Now, we've had so many acorns on the ground. You know, hogs will not abandon that corn for acorns, but they do. Here lately, I've been deer hunting a lot, and some up in Palo Pinto County. You might have seen my newspaper articles, killed a nice buck up there, and he was on a doe that had come to corn, to a corn feeder. So, you know, I mean, pretty soon the hard mast crops like acorns are going to be gone. And then it's kind of the official, there's no official hog season in Texas, but after the close of deer season in January, that's when most hunters, they get after hogs hard. I just happen to be one of these old boys that like to hunt them year-round, and I do, you know. I had them in the summertime and every time, you know, throughout the year, but there's really no better time to hunt hogs than right about now. And there's a lot of, you know, they are excellent eating. Pork is pork. Don't expect wild hogs to have a lot of, as a rule, a lot of fat like domestic hogs. So you usually have to cook the, you know, when you're, you know, saying making barbecue or whatever, you have to cook them with moisture. And I like to wrap the loins, if I'm going to cook them, I like to wrap them in aluminum foil and season them up really good. They're drier is what I'm getting at. The meat is quite a bit more dry than domestic pork. Well, folks, I just felt the need to talk some hog hunting. We've been talking a bunch of deer hunting here lately. Hope you enjoyed this little conversation. And remember, you can go to catfishradio.org, O-R-G. And there's a lot of information there on hunting hogs. You can check out my book there, Kill to Grill, on that site. And I want to, that was a good time to mention Texas Raised Hunting Products for a free drawing this week. want to tell you about that. They ship out the Scent Guardian, which I'm telling you works. It masks all, it eliminates your scent. You don't have to worry about the wind if you'll use this stuff like they recommend and spray down with it. But the first one to email me through catfishradio.org, I'm going to, every week, if you'll email me with your contact information, I will get that to Texas Raised Hunting Products, and they'll ship you a container of the Scent Guardian out, and you're going to like it. Hope you enjoyed our little visit, folks. We'll get back to our show now. I believe we have time in today's show, folks, for me to tell you about a deer hunt last week with an air gun. As I often say, it's not your granddad's air gun that I hunted with. You know, now big bore air guns are legal to hunt big game in Texas. You can hunt, you can go deer hunting with the big bore air gun. And that's just what I did last week up on the Brazos River. I was up the Dale River Ranch is a ranch I've hunted for years and years. It's a low-fenced ranch, and it's really an economical and a fun place to hunt. Lots of game up there, a lot of deer, turkey, and hogs. But I took my Air Force Air Guns Texan up there, and I took, honestly, one of the top three bucks I've ever harvested in my life. And I tell people, you know, I don't really hunt for trophies. I like to use the meat. But then again, I'll usually back that statement up with the fact that most of us deer hunters that say we're just hunt for the skillet, probably not telling the truth. If there's a great big buck out there and a little legal buck, we're probably going to shoot the big buck, you know. That's just the way we deer hunters are. But Randy Douglas manages the hunting up on the Dale River Ranch. You can check that out online, daleriverranch.com. They take X number of does, and there's still some fine bucks. I saw on a little short two-day hunt up there, I probably saw a total of five shooter bucks. And I'm not, that's not to say I was within, you know, air rifle range of all of them. But one evening, actually the last evening of the hunt, I was in a hunting a very comfortable box blind, probably about a half a mile from the Brazos, and the rut was the peak of the rut. The bucks had yet to lock down with the does, where they just stay with the receptive doe. They were looking and running. I mean, there was a lot of whitetail action going on. They were moving everywhere. But near the river, not too far from the river, there I was out in this blind, and one I had an easy shot, about a give or take 50-yard shot on a 11-point. It would have been a 12. It broke a little tip off one of his tines. That's non-typical score. I scored him. Very nice buck. Very nice buck. Heavy in body. He's going to make some great venison. But that bullet did a great job. It's Nelson Specialty Ammo. I was shooting a 240-grain hollow point. And I used to shoot big, heavy bullets in air rifles for, you know, that was the first whitetail I've ever killed. But I've killed a bunch of hogs and exotics, even an Audad one time with my Air Force Air Guns Texan in 45 caliber. But it did a great job. The deer didn't go. I saw him go down just, I don't know, 30 yards from where I shot him. But the rut is going on wherever you hunt right now. If you're a deer hunter, get those rattling horns out. I use the rattling forks. That's by Stephen Ray. They're a heavy rattling tool that really produces the sound that goes way out there. But got a good buck this year. Now I'm going to try to get a doe or two for the freezer. Folks, have a good week. Be safe in the outdoors, and I'll talk to you next week. Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Smoke In Tex Electric Smokers, Sitemark, Texas Raised Hunting Products, Pyramid Air, Striper Express up on Lake Texoma, Mill Creek Ranch Resort at Canton, United Country Texas Landmark Properties, the Best of Texas Barbecue Sauce, and Nielsen Specialty Ammo.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.